programmatic updates right now, being that it is the end of the school year. There are 1,782 events between now and the end of the school year. If any of our board members would like to attend any of the dates that I provided, it would be great to have you. Just to hit a couple highlights, graduation is coming up. That's June 4th at 6 o'clock. You should get an invite for that if you haven't already. Bell ringing is May 29th, we're going in reverse order. Academic award ceremony night is May 27th. Spring music concert is May 13th. Prom is May 8th. If you do want to make an appearance at that, we just let you like ask it to let us know in advance so we know to expect you. NJROTC awards are on May 6th, and then on May 5th we have a unique event where we're going to be celebrating the wrestling state championship team at the baseball game at Frawley. So we're trying to work out a way to get as many cadets as we possibly can to that game. Ken and I talked about maybe getting a bus for any cadets that wanted to get a ride to Frawley, the game at 4 o'clock. So after school, they can just hop on the bus, head over to the game, and we'll celebrate the wrestling team. We're going to have the captains of the wrestling team throughout the first pitch. So Matt and I have been kind of talking about moving forward when we do have those sports celebrations to find a way to like celebrate them within sports. So if we have like a spring champion, like when the baseball team wins the state chip this year, we'll celebrate them at halftime of a football game. When the football team wins their state chip, we'll celebrate them at halftime of one of the basketball games. So that way, everybody can kind of have a minute to recognize. They can invite as many people as they want, which is one of the holdbacks to having something like during the school day. We want everybody to go. Aunts, uncles, grandparents, whoever. It's Frawley Stadium. Invite everybody you know. Let's have an awesome time and celebrate DMA and all the great stuff we have going on. So if you're around on May 5th, that game is at Frawley Stadium. Mid-market period for market period 4 is May 1st. That's Friday. So like we're really, really coming down to the end here. It's the second half of the last market period. Quick request of sports update. All of our teams are performing quite nicely at this point. I think that everybody except for girls soccer is at 500 or above. Baseball team is really having a good season. We're expecting good things from them. Girls lacrosse, boys volleyball will all be on the border for the tournament. And then the golf team is actually really, really good too. They should be competing for a state championship as well. A lot of what we're doing now from an academic and programmatic update is planning for next year. Right now, our counselors are working with our cadets to schedule for next year. We're working on the logistics for next year, hiring practices. I think as of right now, we had our intent to return form filled out by all of our staff. We only have one person that we're aware of that will not be returning, and that one person is Mr. Linkenfelter, our driver's ed teacher, and he is retiring after 30 plus years of education. So everybody else should be back for more DMA action next year, which we're very excited about. Administrative updates. We just completed our new cadet orientation on Saturday. Got a lot of positive feedback from the folks that came to hear our presentation, take their academic and PT testing with the Naval Science guys. Everybody went away smiling, so that's a good sign. We want to make sure that they're all super excited to come on board, and they were. Got a lot of positive feedback about the program and the things that we went over. One of the things that we discussed was in their packet that they receive, they have enrollment papers in which they can pay their enrollment fees with the QR code that Mr. West put on their paperwork, along with the electronic link. We also had Mr. West there with the actual credit card machine, so if you wanted to pay them in person right there with your card, you could. So we had a station set up for that. We also sold a bunch of gear where I think that they said that they sold like, I don't remember the number, I think it was like $7,000 or $8,000 worth of spearware that day. So that's good. We also started our re-enrollment paperwork. We made an option for people to be able to pay online. We told them if you paid online, that would count as your re-enrollment, so you don't have to bother bringing the form back in. So we try to make it easier for people to re-enroll by making that fee easier to pay.
That's right.
So we're hoping that that starts rolling in really quickly. But like I said, a lot of it right now is just like mad dash to the finish. Like every day there's something, a lot of exciting stuff going on.
Our seniors are very excited about graduating. I'm saying that they're coming up with some unique ways of counting down the school year. So they're pumped to move on to the next chapter, and we're excited about graduation. So that's where we stand right now.
Did they get their rings yet?
Yep, that happened last week. Junior ring ceremony was last week. So we got that one all done and taken care of. Any other questions? Checking them off. I'll talk about social media when our group talks.
All right. With that, Captain Bates, can we get the naval science report?
Yes. Good evening. I feel like I have 1,000 of the 1,700 events on my calendar. Big ones coming up are this Thursday. We are doing a rededication of the bell that the Baldwin/Reeder family had provided to DMA a number of years ago. It had a bell stand, and it got used quite extensively over the years, and it ended up on a string. I'm like, dude, that's not a good way to hold the bell. So the Chief Station completely reworked it, put it on a mobile stand, painted it, put plaques on it, and it's ready to go. We've used it a couple times already, and we'll do a rededication Thursday morning. We have a script all set up, talk a little bit about the importance of the name of the bell on a ship, and then make a tribute to Mr. Reeder, who passed away in 2019. A little Navy tradition of striking the eight bells, and then that his watch is complete. And then we'll have taps by the we have our NJRTC awards night next Wednesday, May 6th. And then, obviously, we're a part of just about everything else, the prom, graduation, things like that. We did receive a donation from VFW, local VFW. It's going to be an annual donation of $2,100 to our scholarship fund, our leadership scholarship fund that we set up. That's kind of helped defray some of the cost of those that go to the Leadership Academy end of June after school's out. That's a 8-day camp down in Reisterstown, Maryland, at the area 3 that we're in, NJRTC units put together. And we also got an indication that the American Legion is willing to make a donation to that fund. We should have over $4,000 to buy probably around 25 to 30 cadets to help defray some of that $200, $250 cost. We went back in the uniform when we came back from spring break. And we are now kind of catching up with. Got quite a bit of pot of money from the Navy for uniform alterations, dry cleaning, and then also purchase new uniforms for the freshmen. Kind of restock our shelves there. So we've been looking at 15, 25 boxes a day in and out from UPS. UPS driver thinks we're a little crazy. But
you are. He's correct.
So as soon as a UPS driver comes on campus, he just comes right over here. We get some cadets to help him unload. So it was pretty great.
Did you have to request the money for the uniforms from the Navy, or was that something they were trying to do?
The Navy always puts out money. Mm-hmm. They just know that we need a lot.
Okay.
And then we used the first pot of money on the uniforms was like $56,000, and we went through that in 24 hours. We have it all lined. We have it lined up, ready to go. What we need.
Yep.
And then I looked again a little while, like a couple days later, and we got another $40,000. So Senior Chief Station has no problem spending that money. Just getting it all into shelves and everything is, mm-hmm. that's the challenge.
Yep.
Our space limitations. But we're doing job on that. We're using some of the money that we received in donations to add some shelving.
Okay.
Yeah. Great, you got it all kind of squirreled away. All together. Before it was squirreled away, it was in different locations. Now everything is in the right locations.
Okay.
All sweaters are together.
Yeah.
PT uniforms are together, so that's good.
Organization.
I can't tell you how much better it is.
Yeah?
Now than what it was the first day I walked in here. It's
great.
Miles better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you're talking about $90-some thousand worth of uniforms.
Yeah. Cap Bates and his team did an amazing job. It's
yeah.
It's really good.
Good.
It's really good.
I don't know if it's counted on our balance sheet. It's definitely an expense.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's on. We have to. We have to answer for the Navy.
No.
We keep it on our. They have a system called CDMIS, CDMIS. It's an information system. And they put all our stuff on there. All our awards, all our counseling, all that promotions and everything are on there. Plus all our supplies. And it lists for each cadet how what supplies they have. Return them, like when the seniors graduate, they'll return the uniforms. We'll go in and individually take the uniforms off, return them to the shelf, or in some cases, like the shoes, we don't want the shoes back.
Yeah.
And that's part of the AMI process. Like
yeah.
Lieutenant Hicks is responsible for looking over all of those budgetary lines to make sure that, you know, everything is in order. So it's kind of like a naval audit.
Couple questions. Is there a cadet quartermaster?
We have a cadet supply.
We do.
Cadet supply.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what is the uniform acceptance process? I don't know what you call that, but that was a first day type thing. I know it's Paris Island is similar.
Uniform issue?
Yes.
We'll do that for the freshmen. We'll do that during office.
So there is a process for that.
Yeah.
And the size, tailored, everything. So that way when they walk in on the first day, they're wearing their adjustment when they're supposed to.
The hair? Do they do the hair on the first day?
We'd love to.
We expect them to. If there are some that are really far out of standards, we give them the option that we will provide them a free haircut.
We have a guy that cuts hair on staff.
On site first day?
Gunny Brenneman will cut your hair free
most
of charge. He only gives one haircut.
Most of them don't like that. They go to their own barber.
Yeah. We would love them. We would love her.
I just remember it was something, you know, the parents loved watching, taking pictures of half of your head off. So, you know, it's just part of the nostalgia. At this point for me, but you know, I know when I did it for my son, that was very fun to go in there and take a picture of him having the hair. So
we would love for our guys to catch on to that. We did try to do that during freshman boot camp, but we didn't get anything.
No takers?
We didn't get anything.
But that's when you sit first.
Listen, man, as Captain Bates says, if we get haircuts like that, sometimes it doesn't grow back. For them, it does.
For most of the cadets, it grows back. I'll tell you. They, for the older guys, maybe not so much. One challenge that we've always had, the school has always had, is that we graduate all of our cadets in uniform. So getting the uniform back after graduation has always been a challenge.
We always went right back to Paris. So we would graduate and go back to Paris, continue to go home.
When we're out chasing
no
them, can't really do that. But this year, with the pot of money that we have for dry cleaning, we're going to try to entice them to drop it off the next day before they go to the beach and not dry clean. In the past, they've always had to dry clean it. So that was always like, yeah, I don't want to spend another $100 dry cleaning. By the time you do like 6 or 7 uniforms, it gets to be a little bit expensive. So we're going to have them do a drive-by. Uniforms as you drive by and hand them out the window to us here at school on Friday.
We partnered with anybody for dry cleaning. Maybe we can get more bump for our money.
We have 4 different dry cleaners we're using right now that we're rotating stock through.
Do they give us a special discount?
Well, I've talked to several of them. They were charging us for credit cards because I was using the corporate card. And I said, well, I'm going to bring you a lot of business. I don't want a credit card charge. So they both of them went down the credit card charge. So, and then we do send some of our tailoring to some of the dry cleaners, but we do have a tailor we've been using for about 20 years. And we'll probably just he knows, like, we can give him, like, hundreds of pants, and then he just works his way through the closet. In the past, we used to have him come in and individually measure every cadet. And then he would rush home and try to, like, sew one pair of pants for them so they would have one when they left them in the camp. But after last year, I'm like, this is ridiculous. So we're going to go the way of Eli. Okay, this one's within an inch of where you need to be, so we're pre-hemming all our pants now. And come unhemmed, so now we're going to have them. And we just kind of figure out a basic, you know, 31 inches, 32 inches, 33.
All right. And just maybe a suggestion or a thought with collecting of the uniforms. I don't know, maybe perhaps putting some drop boxes. But basically just drop it into the box and then we just go around the day or two afterwards and just grab the items.
But you want to have a kid sign off.
Yeah, we have, they all sign with the uniform so that they don't return it.
We're trying to think of ways where they can just kind of, but there has to be some sort of signature. Yeah. Okay.
That's why I was hoping the drive through would get would work. So like Friday, so graduation's a half day. The next day after that's a half day. And we're hoping that we can get the seniors to come by school before they go down to the beach, which seems to be the plan. So we would say, come to DMA, drop off your uniform, and you can be done with it. You don't have to worry about it anymore. Like, you're done.
So it has to be a signature process.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So we got to make sure we have all the pieces and all the parts, and we can do that. With all Naval Science guys in the parking lot, we'll just have different stations.
That makes sense.
That's the hope.
We'll see how it works. Okay.
The first time.
It's not a terrible idea, though. It's a lot of paperwork to keep track of, a lot of money to keep an eye on.
That way, you work that off during the summer.
Yeah.
When you lose it.
Yeah, I don't hate that idea.
I think my old school did that. They had them pay a fee as a freshman, a dry cleaning fee. They would go towards when they return all the uniforms.
And then they can either get that money back or donate to the school at the end of their 4 years.
Well, if they donate it back, I can tell you the summer job proceeds go back to the parents. Lifted.
I believe that.
Yeah, it is difficult to get the uniforms back once they graduate. They scatter, you know, to get them dry cleaned then is kind of a hold up because they're not dry cleaned as soon as they, you know, day after graduation. So we have this money.
That's a good idea.
Did we tell the cadets already the informers procedure?
Not yet. We will though. We'll start spreading that word. I did talk to some of the seniors about, like, do they think this is a good idea? Mm-hmm. But I did get some feedback from some
sure
of them.
They
that were like, yeah, it's a great idea. We should do that.
Because
so.
It's fresh in their laundry rooms.
Yep.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. They spent 4 years trying to get out of the uniform and wearing something else.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
They graduated,
they don't want to do it. I know my kids wear PTO and weekends, like the volleyball pants.
Let me tell you something. The first day we went back to uniform, we didn't have a single kid not in uniform. Like, we were anticipating some kids, like, not getting the message or not wanting to get back. We had every single cadet wear their uniform the first day back. Like, they wanted to wear them. Like, they'll never admit it, but I think that it makes life easier.
It was hard for them choosing the polo, the collar.
I know. I think that they were, like, relieved to get back to normal.
Now we have started collecting the seniors' cold weather parkas and fleeces because those are $272 a piece, and fleece another $103. So was almost $300. Well over $300. So it looks like it goes back down. The weather's not helping us.
Yeah.
It should be much warmer. It could just be short sleeves or a sweater, but summer's going to wear technically, we're supposed to go into our summer uniform. The Parker goes away. But I don't think I'm going to win that battle this week.
Good, whatever.
Yeah, technically, we go to our summer uniform. The NSIs will be in summer uniform from now on. Today is the day that the region goes into summer. That's all I have.
Okay.
Anybody have any questions?
Thank you, Captain Bates. All right, with that, let's move on to the treasurer's report. Don?
All right. Prior to the meeting, everyone should have received the March 31st, 2026 financial statements. We are 75% through the year, through our fiscal year. Some highlights regarding our revenue here. Year to date, we've collected $9.5 million. That's 101% of our budget. All right, so we're over budget on our revenue collections. As everyone knows, we collect a lot of our revenue in the beginning of the year. I've said in multiple meetings. In March, we've collected approximately $80,000. $50,000 of that was from athletic fees. Okay, our state and other state funding year to date, we've collected about $5.8 million. Which is $600,000 over last year's number, okay? Different things are classified differently from the state, as obviously we talked about having more cadets, and then we're getting more funds from the state on that. Last year, there was $5.2 million. Local funds, we've collected about $20,000 in the month of March. Most of the $18,000 of that was from our interest on our local fund balance. And later in the meeting, I'll talk about our local fund balance and where that stands right now. Admin and fundraising collections, didn't collect any in March yet. I'd like to hear the changes with the QR code and making it easier for parents to pay. I think that's the way you get payments nowadays, right? So if we can make that easier for them, QR codes, whatever we need to do, click on here, pay it now, pay it while you're here, that would be great. So thank you. It's going to be hard to make our budget, but hopefully through those methods we'll get closer. Regarding expenses, year to date we've incurred about $7.3 million, or 76% of our budgeted expenses. Healthcare expense is $618,000 year to date, the budget is $720,000. We had approximately $73,000 increase in that. Talked about it before. The last month of February was like 65. The month before that, January, it was 63. Hopefully in the next 3 months, we don't have incurred too many of these expenses. Obviously, we talked about before, they're unpredictable. We can't tell what people are going to claim their health care or have health care expense needs. So that's there. Other professional fees. Again, last meeting I mentioned that it's approximately $30,000 over the full year budget. Talked about the substitute teachers as well as nurses, janitors, and things of that sort. I think last meeting, as well as special services for special needs cadets are in that line item. Last meeting was $12,000 over full year budget. Talked to repairs, equipment repairs. In our finance committee meeting, we talked about equipment repairs. There's nothing specific. We're a little over full year budget. Nothing specific that jumps out. I talked to Ken about that. That really says, hey, listen, this is what it was. So we're just watching that. And Ken's going to take on an effort to work with the, our maintenance crew to make sure that they have a better handle when we prepare the budget next year to make sure that budget number is more accurate there for us. There's no unbudgeted. I talked to Ken and asked Ken in the finance committee meeting, which was last week, if we had any unbudgeted expenses that we think we're going to incur before the end of the year. And Ken didn't have anything. Dan, I don't know if you have anything that is unexpected. unexpected or unbudgeted that you think is going to come up. Of course, we can always have random things.
I was going to say, if it's unexpected, it's going to be hard for me to have an answer to that one, Don.
Yes.
I know what the unexpected things are. I would like to put them in the budget in the beginning of the year. So we
that's
plan
right.
For it. But I do have a quick question. Just as we get closer to the end of the year, I think that there's two questions. I just want to make sure that, you know, we're all on the same page.
Yep.
One is, at the end of the year, we're projected to be in the black. We're not going to have the deficit spend, correct?
I'm going to talk about that in a minute, but that is correct.
All right,
yes.
Good. And then the second question is, at the end of the year, are we projected to be under or over budget?
We would be under budget.
Good.
Yes.
The right
as in a net surplus. Yes.
Those are the answers
because
that I want to hear.
That's good. Yeah, and of course, we're making estimates, and I'll talk about that a little bit, but yes, there's things we're going to assume.
Okay.
But if those assumptions come true, then we'll have a surplus at the end of the year. Yes.
Understood. All right, just want to make sure that that's what you're saying, too.
Yep. Okay.
With no use of the contingency
funds. Yeah, that's
so
right.
No use plus surplus to budget.
Yeah.
And I'll ask those two questions, like, in May, and then.
Yeah, and every
we'll have it sold.
Yeah, every month I'm going to bring that up.
Awesome.
I'm going to talk about it and see how close we are as we get closer and those unexpected things become known.
Yep.
Then we'll
know. All right, sounds good.
Yep. There was no revenue or expense items that had unexplained material variances from the budget. All right, so moving along to what we were just talking about, as of the end of March 31st, we had a year-to-date surplus of $2,280,000, approximately. That was about $3 million last month, okay? And like I said earlier, we collect a lot of revenue at the beginning of the year, so we do anticipate that surplus to be coming closer to break-even as we get to the end of the year, okay? I did a little calculation before our finance committee meeting on what we think the projected surplus or deficit at the end of the year would be. And in the month of March, our deficit for that month, because we didn't collect a lot of revenue, we did collect some, about $80,000 worth of revenue, our deficit, when you compare revenue to expenses, was $724,000. If we keep that for the next 3 months, okay, with collecting that, you know, little bit of revenue, we would expect to have a surplus at the end of the year of $110,000. Now that's excluding the loyalty and longevity program, but that's a lot better than we've been in the last couple years. So I would like to, hopefully we can get there, maybe even be a little bit better than that, but that's where we're at. And I'll continue to present that to everybody at the board when we come to the meetings.
So we could collect these administrator fees from the cadets there. Graduating, is there any way we can say you can't go to prom or you can't go whatever until you get those fees paid?
So the one piece of leverage that we've used, and we put this in the letter, was that if you're not paying your re-enrollment fees because they're attached to your Chromebook fee, we're going to break your Chromebook, which essentially means we'll turn it off. Can you use it?
We're just saying that, right? We haven't done it.
I don't think we can legally do that.
Right.
We're going to run into all sorts of fee problems. So it's really kind of an empty threat. But we also can't, like, tell them they can't go to prom.
Right. Oh, we cannot.
And we did a little bit of time, though. We did some timing with the letters and collection of the fees, so we did adjust that. With these different payment options, I'm hoping that we see these come in and we don't have to use the hammer to say, hey, this is pay your fees.
We're trying to make it more convenient for people to pay their fees in a timely fashion, and we're hoping that solves 80% of the problem, and then the other 20 are obviously going to be.
Can we publish it on a band?
Sure, absolutely.
Pay your enrollment fee.
Mm-hmm. We'll put that out there. 100%. It was in the last comment.
Give them the option, and I honestly don't think that it's. I think the convenience factor helps. We collected 15% of the fees on Saturday at that orientation.
Yeah.
So that was a big jump.
Yeah, people want to pay. They just.
You know, so people pay, but at the same time, when you look at something like prom. There's no electronic payment, and they all get paid.
And they get paid.
Whether it's cash or check.
Right.
So I don't want to just put all the stock in.
Electronic
well, now
payment.
It's electronic, so we're definitely going to collect it all. personally think that's the issue. I agree with all the possibilities, give a QR code,
yep,
you know, and have the machine and everything, but that's not the answer. That's not the end all be all,
right,
you know.
Right.
So I think we're on the right path. I think we're getting it out in a timely fashion. Like I said, we got a good jump and collected 15%.
Right. I like having the swag that's available at the new cadet orientation and having the stuff there. I mean, yeah, that's when they want to buy. That's when their parents want to buy it. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, we're going to DNA. Let's buy a shirt.
That's why we wanted to capitalize.
Yeah.
We gave as many different ways to pay as we possibly could right then and there.
Yep.
I was just telling Dan, I was like, why you can't not allow someone to graduate? I don't know if we can say parents can't attend graduation unless they pay anything. I'm sure.
I mean, we could do a lot of those things, yeah.
Can we, like, okay, let's say my kid's buying 5 tickets, and he said, you know, I need $100, whatever, is it $20 or something?
Yeah, $20.
Why can we tell the cadet when he brings the money for the tickets, you also owe $100?
Sure.
Because,
seniors,
I mean,
don't pay,
honestly, I feel like I paid for it, but if you ask me, like, middle of the day when I'm not expecting, I had no idea if I did. Whatever the papers come and go, I write the check, or whatever, you know, it's not really.
I mean, I like these ideas,
yeah,
but at the end of the day, we're talking about a senior class that has 113 kids in it.
And how many are going to college that need their transcript released?
Plenty.
Seniors don't.
Plenty. But I'm saying, like, of those 113 seniors, like, I don't know how many kids we're talking about that didn't pay their fees.
Yeah.
It could be 5.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. I don't know, because there's an underclass. I mean, we can certainly look, and we can stack them up.
Like, there's no doubt that we could keep track. Like, if you didn't pay your fees freshman, sophomore, junior year, like, it was $400 in back fees before you could get your diploma.
Right.
You can't do that. It's an unmet obligation.
Right. Because the number is growing. You know, I mean, it's not shrinking by amounts. Ideas we come up with.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what we end the year with.
Yeah.
You know, and then see if it helps. You know?
Yeah.
And then from there, we can maybe make some adjustments for next year.
Because that would help the budget go, actually, in the surplus.
Yeah, it comes to it comes to a point where you either make measures to try to get it paid or you lower the budgeted amount.
Right.
I mean, right? If we're not hitting the budget or getting close to it, then we got to lower the amount that we're budgeting.
Or you really pull out all the stops and say, if I'm not giving you your diploma until you give me
and
you pay the fee.
Yeah.
I mean, they get their diploma that night.
Yeah, they get it at the night.
I know, but we could not. They could not be in there. They could walk out with an empty.
Yeah.
They could walk out with an empty case.
You guys are going to make me tremendous.
I know.
You guys have all these great ideas for me to do that is just going to make everybody furious.
Yes.
But I don't hate some of those ideas. I mean, I think there's probably a nice way we could put that to package it together.
Can we send an email to each parent, cadet, the parents with any voice, like the ones that I owe?
Yeah, we already do that.
Oh, we already do that.
Yeah,
okay,
we like
parents.
Have like first in tactical ag, second in tactical ag. Like,
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I mean, as much as we aren't a collection agency, we try to act like one when we need to. So.
On your day job.
The commissary items here, I see a whole list of things. Where are you buying all that?
For the lunches?
Yeah.
Different places.
Well, maybe after next year when there's no conflict, we can make that less. We have a way to, you know, create costs that other people pay based on how we choose to partner.
Yeah, we could definitely do that. That's something that we definitely need to do.
It looks like they're paying, so
yeah.
I don't know if you're paying, but they're paying, so I don't know. The spread on that, but if they're paying $3 for 20 ounces, if you want to leave it there, you could make more.
Sure,
that's kind of the thought process.
I hear you. I don't disagree with that, Jim.
All right. If you want any more ideas, just ask us.
Moving along to the local fund, or what our cash balance is. So as of March 31st, we had $5.2 million in our local fund balances, essentially our cash reserve. That's what we earned that $18,000 worth of interest on. That is with the state of Delaware, and it's been just kind of allocated to DMA school. Just as a reference point, December, that was $4.6 million. The main changes from December to March were in our local funds. That went up about $500,000. And then our fundraising, which was the Crystal Trust donation. Okay. As I've said before, we continue to monitor that on a quarterly basis. Ken provides us a report for the finance committee, and we review it. All right. Any other questions?
So,
yes.
Do we need to?
I would, and in fact, I'd entertain a motion to approve.
Second.
Perfect.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
All right. Next up, the Finance Committee report.
I get two right back to back.
Every time, Don, every time.
Met with the Finance Committee. Ken joined us on April 23rd. We reviewed the financials that we discussed tonight, as well as that local fund balance. Went through a couple questions from the committee. The CBOC, the next meeting is on May the 20th, and we will be reviewing January through March transactions. And that is it for finance.
All right, next, academic excellence. Cheryl?
Yes, the academic excellence committee, we met on Monday, April 20th, and I just wanted to highlight three things that we thought would be noteworthy to the board. There were two cadets that have a GPA of a 4.65 or higher out of a 4.0. We thought that was pretty remarkable to kind of make a notation of. There was one cadet that scored twice a perfect score on the SAT of 1600.
Wow.
On the math and 800.
It's not Foster Rock.
One person scored 1600 twice?
Yes. One person, yes. They took it twice and they scored 1600.
We did let them know that they couldn't do better and they still won.
I should have challenged myself.
Yeah.
Yes, they actually scored 1600, which I thought was very impressive for our students. And I think the other thing that we just wanted to share, that I wanted to share as well, that most of our cadets have a 3.0 or higher, which really kind of shows that our cadets are scoring high. We have a very high performance here at the academy, so I think it's a really good thing as well. And again, also that the commandant has already mentioned, they are currently, the cadets are working on course selection, and the trends that they're looking for courses in the future is an emphasis on business and entrepreneur classes, as well as an emphasis on medical field, such as EMT, nursing, and pre-med. So they are busy meeting with cadets for course selection, but as they're dialoguing with the students, as well as the faculty, who are the instructors, they're looking at basically course selection and interweaving in the conversation so that way there's a positive match and connection as we prepare our cadets for the future. So I just want to kind of share those points.
Do we know the impact of having English and math every day as opposed to what we had before?
Our scores are reflecting very positively on having ELA and math every day. It's making a big difference. We'll share that data today. We have a big data spreadsheet about how our scores on the SAT growth-wise are significantly better.
How about how do you assess grade inflation curving and teacher discretion with regard to the 3.0 across the board? How do you know that this 3.0 is the same as 3.0 from like top 1% school in the nation versus a 3.0 in the bottom 1% school in the nation? Where do you know where that
is? It's a good question. That data is not readily available. Like, it's difficult for us to gauge what other schools internally, what their grade point average is. Like, that information is not going to be published anywhere that we would be able to see. Because there is some, you know, there is a difference between a 3.0 in a higher class and a lower class too. Like, if you're in a CP class and you get 3.0 and you're you're in an AP class and you get a 3, you know, like there's a difference there too. And that's also would be reflected.
Right? If you're in an AP class and you get 3.0, you don't get a 3.0.
Correct. Correct.
So I guess
some
that's
of that would be reflected. Yeah. But an honors class and a CP, you wouldn't know the difference.
Okay.
Now, when you're applying for colleges, that would be different too. But GPA is not typically something that we have access to other schools in our area. What we would be able to see would be comparative data for SAT, DESA testing, like social studies and science, and we would be able to analyze where we stand compared to our other public school brethren, because the privates and the Catholics are not required to post that information. They're not even required to take the test.
Even beyond just looking at outside that for relativity, what about just internal practices for checking off the box thing that's not happening? How do you basically prevent grade inflation if there's a teacher just has a pattern of doing that, or
sure, I see what you're saying.
CP,
yeah.
Or a whole channel, like a CP, then a honors, and then an AP. If the whole thing is out of whack from multiple teachers or an individual, like what inside the building are you doing?
So every mid-marking period and end of marking period, the administrative team gets together and looks at every section and every cadet's performance to evaluate whether or not we need to have an academic review board for a particular cadet. And during that time period, we also kind of get a look at, okay, this student is performing this well in these 5 classes, but then there's this one outlier. And if you see that, that's when we'll go and investigate and have conversations with the cadets. We'll have conversations with the teachers, like, tell us a little bit about how you're scoring things. Tell us a little bit about how you're weighing those different assignments. Now, we have a standard weighing practice, like our grading policy, all of our teachers have to adhere to, right? But if we see something that looks off in that regard during those time periods, that's when we go and have those conversations. There's no, like, solid metric formula that you can use to, like, test that.
I mean, so when there's no formula like that, I guess, you know, one of the things we would do in primary history would be to just track how many times you've caught the bandit. Like, how many times have you figured out there was an issue? And then that being the metric to measure. Like, if you have, 1,000 grades that are given every quarter or every semester, you know, you should be finding 2 or 4 that were misapplied or, not curved appropriately, or a teacher that was out. So, measuring by the outlier, that might be something to, if you're not catching anyone the whole time, every one of those, then maybe you're not assessing properly versus trying to find an assessment process that then is popping out the outliers.
So your argument is somebody is
absolutely. Assumption is
sure.
No, nothing is ever perfect.
Sure, absolutely.
So finding at least one and having that be the example to say, no, this is not where we want to be.
Sure.
Every so often, sets a bit of a state.
Okay. Definitely something we can look into.
You said there was a number of cadets that were interested in medical. I guess Mr. Tizio has those numbers.
Yes, I don't have those numbers, but I know they're having discussions with the cadets and looking for that for the curriculum for the future.
There was a reserve center, the Navy Reserve Center, talked to us a couple months ago. We could follow up with them. They had a medical unit, and they were looking to do some of their annual training closer to home rather than far away, so we may be able to partner with them on something.
That's enough for me,
right? I've got to get a product, if I can get a number, I can get it back to them and say, hey, I've got 40 cadets that are interested.
Thank you. I'll take that back.
I'll check it.
There's a Dell Tech class that they love to partner with us on that as well. The problem is that we would have to get them to Dell Tech and back. They don't cover the transportation costs. And so it would be a Tech's looking at different grant opportunities. We're looking into ways that maybe we can work it into the schedule, but right now we haven't been able to come up with a solution.
That's all I have.
Thank you for the update, Cheryl.
Thank you. What was it?
She said thank you.
Oh, I didn't hear her.
All right, Brian, the governance committee update?
Yeah, Dan and I met before this board meeting, so there's three things. One is the bylaw amendments, which I passed over to circulate to everyone, so if you can, any questions, if not, let's get a motion to bylaw amendments.
What was the decision on the terms renewal, July 1st or September?
What was in there? I forget.
I think the comment was, is September better?
Oh, yeah, well, we just kept whatever it is. We just
July?
Kept, yeah, kept it July.
Yeah, I think that was all that I had when I looked through it. I agree with the comments pretty much. I didn't have anything that jumped out.
They were just a little bit too rigid in terms of some of the committees and things like that, so it just provided us more flexibility.
Yeah. Why not September? I was thinking September made sense, you know? Did anybody have the reason why I feel like in July, we're all like, after June's meeting, do we have a July? We don't have a July.
We don't have a July. We don't have a July or August. I think it's just because...
Consistency.
Consistency, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter. July is fine with me. Okay. It's my birthday, July 1st.
Perfect. That's why we picked it.
That's why you picked it, yeah.
That's why we got it.
I didn't have anything else.
One of the other things Dan and I were talking about is just kind of risk that applies to a school, and more importantly, how it gets reported to us. And you know, as we older board members know, I mean, I think people can contact us at the board level pretty easily. We've always been contacted in the past if there was an issue. I think we have with the finance, that's pretty, with the oversight committee. It seems like if there's ever an issue with Dan, it seems like Ken knows how to get in contact with us. So I didn't see there anything we need to do in terms of any type of risk policy type of adjustments. In terms of new board members, I don't think we have anyone leaving the board after this year, so I think we perhaps just need to add another board member. I know we've always been talking about getting a CPA, so if anyone knows anyone who's a CPA that can help Don out.
Yeah.
One of the things I know Dan and Ken were getting bids on some other auditing firms, and I think we're probably going to keep currently have just
we did have somebody reach out to us, as a matter of fact, and we looked into it, and it was going to be more expensive than the one we currently use, so we did look. That was a good idea. What was the name of the company? Okay.
Whispering Cordano.
That's right.
Yeah,
they're pretty local.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things we might want to just do with any of these companies who reach out is, like, you know, we reconsider that contract in 3 years, so if they want to give us a board member, maybe in 3 years they're human in, but they're not in a conflicting position, so I don't know. We need to somehow entice someone.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, we always
he just took the chair, Giordano just took the chair of the finance committee at Greenville Country Club, so
okay.
I think he's doing their books. I think that's their thing, too. They sit on the board, do some work.
Yeah.
What is that, conflict of interest?
I don't
know. Our bylaws, we couldn't do that, but what we could say is that, hey,
after
you do your 3 years, right, you know, you'll be
right
in the running for it. So, or would it be a conflict? I mean, we always were able to fill it because we always had Heath on the board, right, for 7 years, and it wasn't an issue, but, you know, now it is.
Maybe somebody from his firm might be interested.
I've asked him several times. He responds to every email except that one.
This is on the call. This is our.
I did ask him about something else.
What's that?
I said I need to ask him about something else anyway.
Okay, well,
maybe
yeah,
we give him a client.
Don't put that in the email.
Yeah.
Please say that. There's no email trail there.
Yeah, I mean, I even like hired his firm for something, and yeah, I'm still paying again. but that's it. So nothing else. So we have the bylaws approved, and I'll get Dan and Ken a copy of the.
All right. There are no ad hoc committees, so moving on to old business. Is there any old business to discuss? Hearing none, any new business to discuss? Hearing none, there is a need for an executive session. So with that, I'm gonna make a motion to go into executive session. Can I get a second?
Cheryl, give me the second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right.
Do you have so a say on that?
Because this is being recorded, I had talked to Dan and I said I would just call his cell phone. And then I can go ahead and bring us back into regular session on the telephone, if that's okay with you guys.
Yep, that's perfect.
All right.
Thank you, Kathleen. Thank you, Mr. West.
I'll call you, Dan.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.